Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 11, which says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." And we've been looking over our last few episodes at some things related to the Apostle Paul and how he is speaking here about himself, Silas, and Timothy, and how they were this pattern for these individuals who were in Thessalonica, and how they were able to see as a result of their ministry unto them these certain things that are actually going on related to their behavior with them. And we're going to pick up here with this idea of, you know, the Apostle Paul saying that they charged every one of you, and how he's speaking of this idea of the charge that he gives, as we see several times in his epistles that he uses this term to describe what it is that he actually wants for them to do, like when he's writing in his various epistles. We can see, let's go over, for example, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we're going to see where Paul's going to be talking about how it is that we should be living our life here. He says, verse 1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So as the Apostle Paul writes his epistles, he is giving the believers the pattern that we need to understand of how it is that we are supposed to be living our lives. So as he writes these things, we see that all of the different instructions that he is giving really end up falling into this category of being the idea of a charge of what it is that he wants for the believer to actually do. Let's go over here to the book of Galatians. We're going to chapter number 5 in the book of Galatians. And when you look at this epistle, we understand how Paul was writing unto these believers who he administered to. He leaves, and individuals go in and start trying to explain to them how the Apostle Paul forgot to teach them about the things of the law, and how they really needed to be following all of those things rather than following the idea, as the Apostle Paul laid it out, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that's how we are to walk in that same manner as how it is that we are saved. So when he writes here, let's read the very first verse of Galatians chapter number 5, when he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And that's really the definition of what the law is, that the law is a yoke of bondage. It's something that puts someone under this system that really there is no way that anybody could actually perform all the things of the law. Individuals try to think that the law is only the 10 commandments rather than realizing that it's 600 plus different things that a person actually has to do. And they have to do all 600 plus things 100% correctly 100% of the time. And if they become guilty of one thing, they're guilty of transgressing the whole entire law. And if they've transgressed the law, they've committed a sin, which would put them in danger of being separated from God. That's why when we look at us, the members of the body of Christ today, when we've been saved, when we put our trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone for our salvation, we can rest in, as Paul's describing here in Galatians 5, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We've been made free from the law because the law was nailed to the cross with him. It has no impact on the life of a believer today. We see as Paul writes his last epistle, let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy, where you see as Paul's writing this and knowing that it's the last thing that he's going to write, he's going to over and over again give all of these instructions of exactly what it is that he wants Timothy to actually do in making sure that he's going to be doing all of the right things according to the plan laid out by the Apostle Paul. That's why we can see here, let's go to chapter number 1 first of 2 Timothy. We're going to read here verses 13 and 14. Here it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." And we see here as Paul's describing this here, and this is right after he had just laid out some things to Timothy about being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed of the Apostle Paul, and trying to tell Timothy to not be ashamed of those things. He then has to say, hold fast the form of sound words. The form of sound words is the word of God rightly divided. It's the doctrine that's given to us in the books of Romans through Philemon. That's the information that the Apostle Paul is saying that we need to hold fast to. We need to make sure that this is the information that we are we're studying it out, we are understanding what it means, we're applying it to our lives, and we're sharing it with others also, so that way they can receive these same benefits that we receive from this word. And as you see when Paul's describing these things in this epistle, you see as he keeps charging Timothy to do these things, that he is using it in the idea of this is the problems that are going on in the world. Because the next verse talks about how this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And so there's a large group of people that Paul had ministered to that have turned their back on the information that was given to them by the Apostle Paul. In fact, but when you get to the end of this epistle, you see that one of the areas that had turned their back on this information was Thessalonica, the very assembly that we are studying in this epistle. They had turned their back on this. They did not heed all of these charges that the Apostle Paul was giving to the body of Christ. As long as we're here in this book, let's go to the very next chapter. Let's go to chapter number 2. And when I want to read here verse number 2, and it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And that's really a very important thing of what we need in the body of Christ. We have evangelism, the spreading of the gospel message to individuals. We have the edification, the building up of people with the doctrine. We have the exhortation, that encouragement that comes from sharing the word of God with individuals. The one thing that sometimes is lacking is the fact that we also need the eldership piece of this, the idea of having that next generation come up and be teaching this message. Because if the next generation doesn't come up and teach the Word of God rightly divided, the message will eventually start to die out, because you're going to have all of the eldership getting older and getting older with nobody new coming in to take their place to continue teaching this message. This piece really is needed. That's a big piece of this charge of what the Apostle Paul is charging the members of the body of Christ with, to make sure that this is what it is that we are doing. I want to go over here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to see another part of this charge that the Apostle Paul, as he lays things out in his epistles, is actually, and this is, you know, one of these, you know, almost kind of strange verses when you actually read this, because when you understand some of the things that he has said in other places. We're going to read verse number 15 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now, and I said this would be a strange passage, because when you see the Apostle Paul, as he writes in his epistles, he starts writing all of these different things about how we need to avoid the idea of traditions, because traditionalism can take people away from the Word of God. And here you have Paul saying, you know what, to hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. They're to hold to the information that's been given to them by the fact that Paul is writing unto them. Paul is giving us the Word of God, and they were to actually make sure that they were holding and staying true to exactly what it is that the Apostle Paul is teaching. And that's really this, you know, overwhelming thought that you start to see when you look at this idea of a charge that the Apostle Paul really gives. The charge keeps going back over and over again to the idea of the Word of God and the information that the Apostle Paul is giving us specifically inside of the Word of God, because we have to always apply, when we speak about the Word of God, the principle of right division. Because I can look at things, for example, out of the book of Psalms and say, well, I'm studying the Word of God, but there's a lot of things inside of the book of Psalms that are going to be problematic for me if I start trying to apply them to my life. Because there are huge sections that deal with over and over again about, you know, studying the law, applying the law to their lives, waiting for God to be the avenger upon his enemies, all of the, you know, waiting for the deliverance of God, all of these different things pointing back to the prophetic program, which has nothing to do with a member of the body of Christ today. Now let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to see another part of this charge here, of where the Apostle Paul is dealing with things related to the idea of the word that had been committed unto him and giving this out to other individuals. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, I want to read here verse number 18. It says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And he's taking it back to this whole thing of where his reward is actually tied to the fact of preaching the gospel, teaching this message and sharing it with other individuals. This is what the Apostle Paul, you know, he saw his responsibility as to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And that fellowship of the mystery involves individuals being saved, and it also involves them coming unto the knowledge of the truth, all of it being tied in with this idea of preaching the gospel, preaching the word, teaching the doctrine, holding fast the form of sound words. These different phrases that we've seen so far, a few of the ones that we're going to get to in a few minutes, of how the word keeps coming back to being the focus of things. Let's go over to the 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're going to see again another piece of this charge that's going to be tied in with the idea of the word being taught. We're going to read verse number 27 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And he's saying, you know, I'm charging you to make sure that this information is being given to the members of the body of Christ. This epistle, which is 1 Thessalonians, which what we've been studying, which is the word of God, he's charged with saying, make sure that the members of the body of Christ are receiving the information related to the word of God. Because it's the word of God which is actually going to work in an individual. It's the word of God that's going to produce change. It's the word of God that's going to keep individuals in a position where they're not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's the word of God that provides comfort. Everything keeps shifting back to the word of God. Let's go over here to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And just like we had seen in 2 Timothy, there's charges that are laid out in 1 Timothy as he's writing this information, and it's going to keep going back again to the idea of this word. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse number 3. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So now he's saying about, you know, charge these individuals to make sure that they're going to stay true to the doctrine that's been given to them, which is everything that's been laid out by the Apostle Paul. All the information that he's received through direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things that, as he speaks into the assembly of Colossae and talks about how it was given unto him to complete the word of God, because the information that's been given to him is the things that are necessary to show that this is the word of God, because it's the information that's for the Gentiles, this information is for today, that's outside of the prophetic program. This is the things that Paul is charging to make sure that they're doing these things. Let's go over to chapter number 5. We're going to see these charges here. And as he's laying these things out, let's go to verse number 21 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And this is actually going to be dealing with some things about how if they're applying the word of God properly, this is what's going to happen in their life. Verse number 21 of 1 Timothy chapter number 5, it says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, we know that God is not a respecter of persons. We've looked at some things about how we're to have a care for all individuals, especially the members of the body of Christ. And he has to keep giving these things. I charge you that you're doing this. You know, make sure that you're not, you know, doing the things that are going to be for the benefits of other individuals over the benefit of the members of the body of Christ, because you're to have, or to be, well, I'm going to hold this member of the body of Christ in better esteem than this other member of the body of Christ, because we're all members of that one body. All of these different things that can start to happen of where somebody would be doing what exact opposite of what Paul is saying to Timothy here. Let's go down to chapter number 6. I'm going to pick up here in verse number 13. And we're going to see a couple different charges that are going to be laid out here. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So you see this issue of he's charging related to performance. He's charging individuals who are the rich that they're going to put their trust in the things of God, not in the things of this world, because all those things are going back to the information that they would understand if they were applying the Word of God to their lives. Now I want to go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Because this is the last chapter of the last epistle that Paul writes. So when you read here and you look through this epistle and you study it out, you see how in chapter number 3, he gives all of these different things about what's going to happen to the local assembly. How the local assembly is going to start becoming more and more like the things of this world. And how he has to say, okay, you know, this is what I'm warning you about and what could happen, but now I'm going to give you the exact answer on how you can prevent this from happening. And that's where chapter number 4 is actually going to start, of giving, here's the answer of how you're going to prevent chapter number 3. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And you see, as Paul's giving this charge, that the very first part of this charge keeps going back to that same idea of what we've been looking at. Preach the word. The word is where the focus is going to be. And if the word is being preached, then all of those other things are going to happen. You know, that a person's going to be instant in season and out of season because they're preaching the word and relying on the word of God to be able to get them through any of those things. They're going to be able to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, because they're going to be able to do it with the doctrine that they have from the Word of God. This is the charge that he has to give. This is the charge that when we look at us as the members of the body of Christ, we need to make sure that we stick with the truth of God's Word rightly divided. We need to make sure that we're going to be teaching this, that we're going to be standing for this information, sharing it with other individuals, doing all of the things that God intends for us to do. And when we do that, we're pleasing unto God. We're going to be following this pattern that has been laid out for us. Now, we'll probably conclude verse number 11 in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they are being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything that's on our website, anything that's in any of our broadcasts, you know, there's different ways to contact us, whether it's by phone, whether it's by email. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.